接着罗拉因吉米爱他们绝巴爱桑巴爱想爱呢铁巴爱金比爱尊爵爱桑巴爱铁巴爱吉米云朵爱金桑巴爱吉米
Start first of all by adjusting your motivation, thinking that you're here in this occasion to listen to the most profound meaning of the teachings of the Great Vehicle. And the reason why you do that is because you aspire to reach the precious state of perfect and complete enlightenment, a state that is characterized by the full development of all positive qualities and the total elimination of negativity. And you aspire to reach this particular state in order to be able to benefit sentient beings. Sentient beings who have been your mothers in the past and are as vast as the vastness of space. So for their sake, you are here to listen to these teachings today. With this thought, please adjust your motivation.
Kashi Yamaju, Tamu Sichuayan Ding. kashi mar shirdan shi chiwa yandimi. Oda yang kashi la tamu to re tigusam di cha nyambun rawa yandimi. Oda tinda mar rigmadrava jayu dimi. Ojuda tinda chiji.
And when we look at the different teachings that Buddha Shakyamuni has given, all those teachings are actually given for the sake of the disciples. They are given in order to address the needs of various disciples. And when we look at different sentient beings, we see that, of course, the main need that they have is to overcome afflictions that exist in their minds. When we look at those afflictions, we see that some sentient beings seem to have attachment as being the predominant one amongst all other afflictions. Some others have hatred as being the predominant ones, and others are afflicted mainly by confusion. There is again another class of sentient beings that seems to be affected equally by, let's say, equal amounts of attachment, of hatred and confusion. So for these four main classes of trainees, different types of teachings are given. The total number of bundle of teachings is 84,000.
ဟောဒီဒါဒီနေမယန်ဒီဟောဒီဒါနတင်ဒါဆိုဆိုဆိုဆိုတောင်းမှာချန်တော်ကိုတက်နော်ဟောဒီပြင်နာဒါကြည်ကြည်ကြောင့်တောင်းဒီနာဒီနာဆံပြီးပါဘူးပြင်နာဒိုချာရှိချွာလာဟောဒီဒါဒိုချာလာချွာပတိညံပွန်တော်ကိုဒီဒိုချာလာချွာပရှိကျေနံတော်ဒီဟောဒါညတ်ချီတောင်းဟောဒါဒနီဟောတမ္ကြီးရှိချွာလာတမ္ကြီးလာချွာပ ကျေကွမ်မန္တဝညညွတ်ချူတောင်းဝဂျူတာတေနီချေရှေဒေါရှိချွာဒေလာချေဒေါငွညံဘူညောင်ကျူကျူကျေနံတောင်းဒီညွတ်ချူတောင်းဝဒတုသုမချညံပါလာဝဂျူတာတေဒီအတုသုမချညံဘညံဘူဒီညောင်မရညွတ်ချူတောင်းဂျီတန်ဒုနဝဒုံယောဒုနချူကျေမံဘူဂျေတွေ့ချေတောင်းဒီမရတင်ဒါကနံတောင်းဘူချူဆောင်ချံ
Now, as I say, the teachings are given in accordance with the needs of the disciples. So for those, for example, who are suffering mainly through the affliction of attachment, 21,000 types of teachings are given, and they all present antidotes mainly to attachment. For those who are suffering from hatred, another set of 21,000 types of teachings are given, presenting antidotes to this hatred. For those who are suffering from confusion, 21,000 types of various teachings are given, presenting them with solutions and antidotes. And finally, to those who are suffering equally from attachment, from hatred and confusion, another set of 21,000 types of teachings is presented to them to offer different types of antidotes, addressing all three types of afflictions together.
ဟောဒီဒါဒီနေမယ်ရင်ဒီဟောဒါဒီလည်းနံတော်မှာဘုရားဆောင်ဒါဒီသရဒူးယောင်းရဲ့နတ်ကြီးပြဏကြီးပြဏရှင်ကြီးကံမြောင်းတင်တော်ဆောင်ပြီးပါတော့ဒီဒါဒီလူချုပ်ကြီးချွာကြီးရဲ့နတ်ဟောဒီဒါသာကြီးသံကြီးကဲရီကြီးချက်ပရကုန်ဘုန်းကြီးဟောဒီဒါညွန်တော့ပြည်ညွန်စုရတော်တော်ကျော်လာဆိုပါရစ်တော်အောင်လာမှာချက်ချင်းချွာတည်ညင်ဘု ဝဂျူဒာမဒူကန်တော်ကိုကွန်ပြတင်တဲ့ကြည့်။ရောင်းကြည့်ချေတော့ရှိချွာကြည့်ရနဝဂျူဒာတည်ညံဖို့ဒါကျေဇောဘကွန်ရကျေဝဂျူဒာတင်တဲ့ကြည့်။ဝဂျူဒာတင်ဤတမှုကြည့်ချွာကြည့်ရနခံပြရပြီးစီ။ဝဒတင်တဲ့ကွန်ရကမှာကျေမှုဘတိကြည့်တဲ့နေရာလာရောကျေရုဆုစုခံတော်တံဘကွန်ရမှုဆက်မှုတက်ကတင်တဲ့ဆောင်ကြပါနော်ရ။ဝဂျူဒာခံဆုစုမြွာတော်တင်ကတင်ကတဲ့နံပါတ်ဆောင်ကြည့်ဆောင်ကြရုံဒီ
means for meditation, as an object for meditation for various sentient beings, has to be in accordance with their main problems, the main afflictions, as well with their predispositions, with their mentality, and so forth. So, for example, when we look at sentient beings who are suffering from attachment, the usual advice that is given to them is to meditate on ugliness in order to overcome the tendency to generate attachment towards pleasurable objects such as form, sound, taste, tactile objects, and so forth. For those who are suffering from hatred, it is advisable that they meditate on patience, as this is seen the main antidote against hatred. And for those who are suffering from some confusion. Different practices do, let's say, promote their wisdom. The clarity of the mind is offered to them as a solution. So always the suggested meditation will be in accordance with the specific needs, the predisposition, the mentality, and the intelligence of trainees.
ဝိဇ္ဇာတိရယံဘယံတုတိကြုံဉ္ဇီသံခိလာတိကြုံဉ္ဇီဘယံတုတိန္ဒကိုကြုံဒုရှိမူဝမူဝမန္တဝံခမန္တဝံဝိဇ္ဇာသံဘမန္တဝံတိန္ဒမံဘုကမရဂောတံတ္တိဝိဇ္ဇာအကြုံစွာယံဘယံတုပြဏကြုံဒုရှိအကြုံကရဇဂောနမ္ဂျံတဝေတိရာယံကြုံတိရဆောင်ယူဝရဝချက်တိကြဝဒုရှိတိကြတိယေနာယံကြုံခရှိလာရှေမလနောမမံဘ
So always the teacher has to teach in accordance with the aspirations, with the wishes, with the predispositions and the intentions of the students. But when we look at the students, we can also make distinctions according to how mature they are. And it is said that there are four types of disciples if we look at them from the point of view of their maturation. There are some who are mature inside but immature externally. There are others who are immature internally but they seem to be mature externally. There are others who are immature both externally and internally. And finally, the fourth category is those who are fully mature internally as well as externally. So if we look at this analogy of maturation, it is quite helpful to look at it through the example of a fruit that can be mature or can be ripened or can seem to be ripened and so forth. And we have this classic analogy of the mango. You know that sometimes you find mangoes that externally are green and internally they're quite hard. And you know that if you have such a case of a mango, you know that both internally and externally it's not ready to be consumed. It is hard, it is bitter, it is immature. And there are certain type of disciples that they are like that. Both externally, their contact, their physical and their verbal contact, it seems to be absolutely immature. They seem to have this harshness. But also when we look inside in their minds, the minds are uncultivated, they're hard, they're unyielding. So it is like the mango fruit, which is hard both inside and outside. Then again, there are some other mango fruits that you look at them and they have this lovely golden color outside. And when you cut cut it through, you see that inside is soft and juicy and sweet. It just has ripened in a perfect way. It looks ripened, and it is ripened indeed. And it's very pleasurable to consume it. This is like those trainees that are both mature internally and externally, and they behave in the best possible way with their body, with their speech, but also their mind has attained softness and maturity that is necessary. Then again, we know that we have, sometimes you can have a fruit which, although it is ripened and soft inside, might look green outside. So this will be like the case of disciples who are physically or verbally, they are behaving in a harsh way, but inside their minds are soft and mature. And it could be the case that they are just demonstrating an angry face without really having anger. As long as the mind is mature inside, then the external, let's say, expression of body and speech could appear as harsh. And finally, we have the last category of beings who, of fruit, let's start with the fruit, of fruit which seem to have the right color outwardly, but when you cut them inside, you find that they are hard, they are not sweet at all. So although they might look ripened from the outside, inside they are still hard and immature. And this is like the case of the practitioners who externally might behave in a perfect, polite, kind way, but internally the mind is still hard and undeveloped. So these are the four types of development, of maturity of trainees, it seems, through the example of the mango.
ဒီတင်ကြကလူမန္တရပဲရေးရပါတေနောရင်ဒီတရှိခံတော်မူလာရောင်ဒီတံပိုးနေမရတင်ကြရင်ရံပိရံပိမရလှဖြာကြဝတ္တတန်ရရှင်တော်ညီကမာမတ်ပဲကြီးလာဒီတံပိုးနေမရလှဖြာကြဝတ္တတန်ရရံပိရံပိမရလူကကွန်ရှိုးရောင်းကြပါတော့ငါကကွန်ရှိုးရောင်းကြပါတော့ဂျံပိချောက်တေနောရင်ကနောင်ကစံကြတေဟောင်းဝတ္တဂျံပိကိုနေမရတန်ရုံကြီးကမရလူကြီးတဲ့ရှင်တော်ကြီးရှိလှဖြာကတော့ကတန်ရုံကြီးရောင်းလူကြီး
Now, if we look at the disciples and if we look at their ability to, let's say, reshape their minds, we can see that there are some where can receive external advice, and gradually, through receiving, through understanding this advice, they can start modifying their physical and their verbal behavior. And eventually, this will also have an effect on the mind, and this will transform their minds. So the first category of disciples are those who can be formed, can be changed, through external advice, gradually. There are others who seem to have a soft nature straight from the beginning. There are those who actually you do not give them too much advice. Already they have a good character, already they behave fine with their body, their speech, already they have, let's say, soft and serviceable minds. You don't need to give much advice to these people. Now, the fact that we say that by nature they are soft, we don't mean to indicate that they are no causes or condition to this softness or this maturity that they already indicate. What we mean to say is that these beings have actually generated a lot of familiarity with these practices from previous lives. So already they have placed a strong imprints of good behavior, of maturity, both on the level of physical, on the level of the verbal, as well as on the mental level, already from the previous lives. Now, if you have to give an advice to these disciples, you find that very quickly they modify their behavior, very easily they generate realizations. It's all due to the imprints that they have placed in previous lives. And then again we come into a third category of disciples that seem to be almost impossible to change. No matter how much advice you give to them, no matter how patient you are with them, no matter how much you wait for some change, for some transformation, you find that they are almost unchanging. And again, this is not without cause or reason. It is due to the fact that from previous lives, they have some very strong, let's say, negative imprints, and these imprints are so strong that they are not allowing transformation to happen easily.
ဆိုဆိုဆိုဆိုမိကျွာလောင်းတာရောဒီဆိုဆိုဆိုဆိုဒီဖတ်တော်မှာတဆိုဖမတဆိုရောင်ဒီရှိခြင်းကြံဖို့တင်ရရင်ကြီးကရုလာဒီဘုဂဘုံဝတဆိုရောင်ပျောင်းနေရူကြီးရောင်ဒီဖမကြီးကဒီရှိခြင်းကြံဖို့ရနေရောင်ရောင်ဘုဂညီစုံကြီးရောင်ဘုဂကြီးကဒီမရန်ကြံဖို့ရင်တင်ရောင်ညီစုံလားစပယောင်စပို့ရင်တင်ဒီရောင်ရောင်ကြီးရပါရောင်ကြီးတင်ရကတော့ကရုကြီးလာတူရောင်မောင်းချပါကြီးတင် ထာကြည့်တဲ့အောင်ချဝန်တော်မေတ္တင်ကြီးတောင်းငုံကပေါ့ချန်တဲ့သူကြီးဆိုရပါဘာကြည့်တဲ့ကောင်တရကြောင့်ကြီးကြည့်ကြောင့်ကျွတ်တဲ့ပါသူကြီးကျွတ်နေကျွတ်နေကျွတ်သမ်းကြီးတယ်မရမိကျွတ်လောင်းတဲ့အောင်ဟိုတဲ့ရှိခြင်းကြံဖို့ကြည့်လာမှာမလုံးကြကရွာတဲ့ခါတော့အစမရဇုံဘုချုပ်မလုံးနောင်တဲ့တိဆောင်ဖရုရှင်လာရပ်စွန်ဒီဆောင်ရောင်းဒီနဲ့တိရှင်ဆိုဒီနဲ့ရှိခြင်းကြံဖို့ကြည့် ကျူလာမရကျွေးနိုင်အောင်ဆောင်ရွက်ပါလေတိလာမရငွေနေငုံးကြီးကိုဆက်တော်ပါရှင်ချင်းကြံဖို့ကြည့်ကိုကျွေးနိုင်ရင်ဉာဏ်ဖို့ဒီတန်ဒီရှင်ဘတ်တော်ညင်ကြီးတေသူစီကြည့်လာဖို့ရုပ်တင်ကြီးတတိကြည့်လာဖို့ရုံနဲ့သူတို့ဒီဆောင်ချုပ်ကြီးဆံပြကြည့်ကိုကိုရွေးရင်သူဆောင်ချုပ်ကြီးဆံပြရတဲ့ဝတ်ဒီရှင်ဘတ်တော်ညင်ကြီးကိုကြည့်ပါလေရှင်ဘတ်တော်ညင်ကြီးဒီရှင်ကြံဖို့လားသူစီရုပ်တင်
It is interesting to actually examine the characters of beings who take a human rebirth and they come in particular families. Sometimes it's interesting to examine the character of children who are born in a family where both parents have nice and soft characters. It is quite often that you can find that a child that is born to these parents also has a nice and soft character. It becomes more interesting if actually the family has more than one child. So you can look at the statistics, let's say, of the character of the kid's character, and it is quite possible that you might get in such a family with very good parents, you might get one child with a really nice and easy character, and then you get the remaining two, three being quite difficult with quite different characters, and it is all due to the power of what they have developed familiarity with in previous lives. It all has to do with the imprints that they have placed in their lives, in their minds in previous lives. Now, it's also very important to see at the type of prayers that bodhisattvas do. Of course, one of the main aims of the bodhisattvas is to take a human rebirth again and again, but to take a type of rebirth that will allow them to generate qualities and especially, you know, to regenerate this mind of bodhicitta as easy as possible. The other day we were looking at the text that is called the King of Prayers, Samantabhadra Prayers, and you saw some of the aspirations that bodhisattvas have to remember again and again the lives where they have practiced bodhicitta, to remember to be ordained again and so forth. Now, one of the main goals of the bodhisattvas is to generate the mind of bodhicitta, to remember these practices. And of course, if they take a new rebirth, and in this life they come with a character which is soft. This softness allows them to generate love and compassion much easier. And this love and compassion is the basis for generating the mind of bodhicitta. So of course this again would be one of the aspirations of bodhisattvas, to always come back and have a soft character. If you come back as a person with a harsh character, the harsher you are, the more difficult it will be to generate love and compassion. And if it is so difficult to generate these two types of minds, then it would take much longer to generate the mind of bodhicitta. Then Rinpoche was saying the reason why we talk so much about the character of beings and we look at all these examples is because we really want to stress how important it is to look at what sort of imprints you place in your mind and what you develop familiarity with. And as we're discussing this, it becomes very important to look at this issue of the existence of previous lifetimes, because this is where familiarity and imprints are coming from. Alright, so this can serve us as the general introduction, and we can turn our attention now to the main text that we are examining, the Sublime Continuum. As I say, in the beginning of the text, we have the enumeration of the seven Vajra categories. For the first three are the three jewels of Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, and after that, we start presenting potential. Potential is number four. When we talk about Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, it is important to examine them at three times. times, at the time of the basis, at the time of the path, at the time of the result. So in this way we can talk about the causal as well as the resultant jewels. Now if you talk about the three jewels that are already established in the continuum of another being, then when you are observing this, you have the possibility to observe these three jewels, and you have them as your object of observation. It can also become the object of your aspiration. So you can look at your own mind, you can look at the emptiness of your own mind, and you can say, if I admire the qualities that I see out there in the three jewels, I can see that I have the capacity to develop all these qualities on the basis of my mind, on the basis of the emptiness of my mind. So generating such an aspiration, having the external objects, the resultant objects of jewel, and observing them and aspiring them to generate those in the future on the basis of your mind, you're actually dealing with what is called the causal jewels. Now, in order to develop that, you have to undergo thorough training, and we're at the point of the text where we started mentioning the 60 types of trainings that bodhisattvas have to undergo. These 60 type of trainings are broken down in four categories. First of all, we presented the four ornaments. Following that, we had the 8 type of the illuminations. Following that, we had the 16 types of great compassion. And now we are left with the remaining category of 32 activities of the bodhisattvas. Up to now, we have covered 28 of those 60 types of training.
我在一个过年听看当过当女儿节你你小舅子们年纪全部南北集中当我是他第二年的你小舅子们我在那边什么叫三年自己的在这里中央不一样的话你那个什么叫三年的那个大金我呢 就年纪进步就这个地方了，那上就咱们建南北也讲了，你是，就咱你是坦白，你是坦白讲了，农安南北也讲了交接部，但是，上级坦白从阿拉你过过一万多，对印度的奥呢，那里南北上级三年自己地方的你也认得的，我的，这几万印度，瑞达，当了上级坦白从里面，但奥呢。 什么的，但我那什么的，他们什么就从你那里的，对人家那么的，我就张干着我结巴，那咱都照样不一样的哇。我就在想，就在北京几千步，那么就这个当王是，但第二就，都没个你，是不是吧？当王是对那，不然呢就，我就，都没个，都没个嘛，就慢慢着我，马路个多个，就你可地方那些，我是嘛，长期上下个，上下子对那。 我觉得那，他们个马里维昂个，马来，你认得我的早晚的嘛了，那快要没定的，从二十八岁的，第三个月份的，我在他们个月底里，买不了，从二十八岁的，那当不当，但等你没完没了结钱不拿，就话当，像路没完没了抢抢着我，路结抢抢就赢了，路没办就赢了，路该结钱不拿嘛了，就说的你话当。 我觉得今年去马英班多半去多半了，就外地就外三百。我觉得两句去马英班，除了去是蛮个也难着。我觉得今朝个马英班农村得了，没人去多半了，派开就外地，但三百多。我觉得今年，初二马到外地到初二马到外地到半人过半当时，我觉得，搿是个，六初一的，就六初一的开始嘛，就搿是个。 水的时候，这个，搿是个，这个当马里的水是就，这个过年从里话，像开始就，搿是个，这个登陆瞬间的时候嘛，水呢，都涨了，今朝个过年初二的初二嘛，到外面去玩玩，我觉得搿么一般来说话东西，我觉得今朝一般人都初二嘛到外地初二到半了，过夜的一个，我在今年我到外面吧，像特别到外了过半天，我把鸡蛋到外地我鸡。
Right, so for those of you who have access to the Tibetan commentary of the text, if you have the Lhotse Ling edition, you will find this material on page 33, and the presentation of the 32 deeds of the Bodhisattva starts from the third line. So once again, just to make clear the enumeration, we have already covered 28 of those points. It is actually quite easy to add up the points, because we say we have the 16 types of bodhicitta, and on top of that, if you add the 4 ornaments, very easily you have 20, and then you add the 8 illuminations, that takes you to the to 28. So you're missing 32. Now the 32 remaining aspects that we need to look at are the deeds or the activities of the bodhisattvas. The first one is presented as awakening the sleep of confusion, from the sleep of confusion. Now it is said that as long as we remain in the state of confusion, we remain in the state of ignorance, it is as if we are asleep. And the meaning or the purpose of our practice is actually to be awakened, to get out of this state of stupor and sleep and confusion. And if we look at the etymology of the word sangye, the word which means the enlightened one, the first syllable sang refers to total purification, which refers to the total removal of this ignorance. So one of the first type of activities of bodhisattvas is to cut through this sleep of confusion. The second one is to apply or to join those who have lesser aspiration to those who have great aspiration. So we know that there are certain beings who can think in a small way, right? We try to open up their minds so that to join them, to make them apply to something greater. Now, number three is joining those who have a wish for that which is non-dharma to the wish of the dharma. There are certain beings who have the tendency or the interest to always go towards activities that are non-dharmic activities. And the idea is to lead those things towards dharmic activities. The fourth one is to join those who have impure livelihood into a pure livelihood. And here when we talk about livelihood, we're talking about usually physical activities, the means of supporting oneself. You know, there are certain beings who, for example, have engaged into a lot of killing, such as killing sentient beings for their livelihood. There are others who engage in stealing and so forth. So these are examples of impure livelihood. So we try to direct these beings into something which is a better type of livelihood. Number five is to join those who have bad views into pure views. So again, a change from the bad to the pure in terms of view. Right, so we continue with number six, which is joining those who have an inappropriate application to appropriate application or appropriate attention. Right, so there are certain beings who do not have the right attention. Now, number seven is talking about turning those who are abiding in wrong dharmas towards the correct or the pure dharma. And here, when we talk about wrong dharma, we're talking about activities that certain beings mistakenly consider them to be dharmic activities, but as a matter of fact, they are not. An example of that is making bloody sacrifices. So killing animals and offering the flesh or the blood of the animal and considering this to be an offering within the context of dharma. This is not a dharma activity. It's a mistaken idea. So that's an example of that. Number eight, from number eight onwards, we're dealing with these six perfections. So we continue from number eight onwards. Number eight actually presents the certain states which are incompatible with the practice of the six perfections, and the idea is to move beings who are in those incompatible states into states that are actually compatible with the practice of six perfections. Since we have six of those perfections, if you go up to here, we had presented seven, and on top of that, if you enumerate each one of the six perfections separately, we will come up to number 13. So first of all, let's say the incompatible state of the first perfection, which is the perfection of generosity. Well, the state opposing generosity is miserliness. So the idea is to move those who have miserliness from this attitude towards a more generous attitude. The second one, which is the perfection of ethics, the incompatible state with that is confused ethics. When we talk about confused ethics, we're talking about beings who actually either cannot understand the ethical rules, or they cannot follow it, or they make their own rules, and they end up in a confused state with regards to ethics and morality. So the idea is to try to move beings from the state of confused morality into pure morality. The third one has to do with the practice of patience, and the basic problem with not being able to practice patience is strong anger. So by trying to think, to remember the benefits of generating patience, we try to overcome this incompatible state. The next one has to do with enthusiastic effort, and the biggest problem with enthusiastic effort is laziness. It is due to laziness that we cannot do our Dharma practice properly. It is due to laziness that we cannot do our worldly activities properly. So the idea is to try to overcome or move away from these lazy states. The next one has to do with the perfection of absorption. And the biggest obstacle to that is to have a mind which is distracted. So we try to move beings from the state of a distracted mind to a state where they can generate single-pointed absorption. And we come to the last perfection, which is the perfection of wisdom. And again, the problem with that is confusion or mistaken wisdom. So things that they're not really pure wisdom, but they are considered to be correct views and so forth. The idea is to try to move beings from the state of confusion to the state of the pure practice of perfection of wisdom. So this consists actually the presentation of how to join those who abide in incompatible states with relation to the six perfections, and it takes us all the way up to number 13. So we have come to number 13. We continue now with number 14. And it says to join those who are unskillful in means with skillful means. And what we mean by that is that it's quite possible that someone has already entered the path and are proceeding with their practices. But if they are unskillful, if they cannot recognize the correct means, then they will find out that they have a lot of problems in their practice, in developing their practice. So we try to bring skill into those who are unskillful. Actually, at this point in our Tibetan text, there should be the equivalent of our comma, but it's not there. In any way, this is how we break up the sentence. So we take number 14, this skillfulness and unskillfulness, and we move into number 15, which talks about joining those who are afflicted with the unafflicted. And it refers to the state of having a mind which is afflicted, a mind that is disturbed due to the strong eruption, the strong presence of afflictions in the mind. And we know that such a mind is actually tormented. So we're trying to remove the mind from this afflicted state. We move to the next one, which says joining those with the who are holding the observed to the non-observed. And Rinpoche says the way I think that this point needs to be interpreted is not that we're talking about having no object whatsoever. It is not that we are saying that one should not have a focal or an observed object, but rather this term observed and non-observed really refers to to holding a true existence or not holding a true existence. So not holding a true existence is described by the term non-observed. Holding a true existence is described by the term observed. So we're trying to to change from this holding into not holding at this mistaken view. So up to here we have covered 16, which is actually exactly half of those 32 points. We have another 16 remaining.